Well, tonight I want to talk to you about, are we on yet? Okay, praise the Lord. Welcome everyone out there. Hey, those of you that have joined in and participating with Blessing Miss Virginia Shoemake, we want to say thank you to you and tell you that she is doing awesome and she says thank you. We'll give you an update as often as we can. We're going to go into the Word tonight and I'm going to talk to you about revelation that will undergird your faith. Revelation that will undergird your faith. In fact, I'm going to give you revelation tonight, and it will undergird your faith. Okay? There are just certain truths, church, truths that if you establish them in your life, your faith is going to work so much easier, so much faster, come up so much quicker. If there's certain foundations and basis for, in certain truths that you have, I'll just say it that way. We understand faith comes by hearing and hearing. We understand that we put the word in our heart. We speak it out our mouth. You can have what you say. We understand all these principles. They've been drilled into us, but there are certain revelations in the Word of God that help you always stand on a foundation. One of them would be covenant. If you've learned covenant, if you I recommend Brother Copeland's covenant teachings. Andrew Womack probably has some good ones. Brother Copeland's go really in depth. He explains the whole thing, how we don't think like Eastern people. Eastern in the world. We're Western, on the Western side. And so we don't understand the covenant principles just naturally like they do. But we can be taught. And so when you go in and look at the tribes of old and how they would get together and how they would create unity, the best way you know about it is marriage. That's the best way you know about it. You get into covenant with someone and you don't break it. That's why they say things like, till death do us part. That comes from old covenant. Because in covenant, you had to swear by your life that you wouldn't break the covenant. That's why Jesus gave his life, because we were all covenant breakers. But see, God has a covenant with Jesus. He's our representative. There's always a representative in covenants. He's our representative, and neither one of them can fail. That's right. So this covenant, if you'll go back and study covenant, it will just undergird your faith, because you have a covenant with God. Yes. You have one. Another thing that would be good would be your identity in Christ. And if you understand your identity, which I'm not going to teach about, but Danny kind of has that lane a lot of times, and we'll pick it up sometime. But that's going to be major. If you understand who you are in Christ, that's going to be a major stabilization to your faith. And then Hesed. Hesed is major, major, major. Hesed is a Hebrew word that can't be described by one English word, but it means this: his loving, tender mercy, kindness. It's always trying to get to you because he loves you so much. It's that's his love. And of course the love of God, understanding that love himself. God is love himself. He just doesn't have love. He is love. And so when you understand these principles, your faith's going to grow, or is going to settle in on something, then it can grow taller, easier, faster. One other thing I'll mention, and then we'll go into just the three things I want to talk about tonight. One other thing I would mention is, if you will go and study Abraham, and you remember that God told Abraham, you're going to have many descendants. Well, it took certain things to get Abraham in his heart and in his mind to be able to walk it out in faith. Because remember, he messed it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had Ishmael. But there's some certain things that God did that caused Abraham to be able to walk in this faith. He got better at it. He got fully persuaded. He began to believe when God showed him a different side of himself. He had known God as creator, right? He'd known him as Elohim. But one day God shows up after 13 years of being quiet and says, hey, I am God Almighty in English, or I am El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the God that can take very nature and change it if he has to for his children. See, so he knew the creator, and then he knew that this same creator could actually take nature and change it. And so therefore he could believe that his 100-year-old body could have a baby, and that Sarah's could too. That's the reason he was able to believe, is because he had a revelation of what God could do. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that good? And then, of course, God showed him the sand of the sea, the stars in the sky. These were all pictures, and it caused Abraham to wake up like, hey, we can do this. And the Bible says that Sarah received strength to conceive. And so she got on board, and she received, and they had Isaac. And then you know that after a while, Sarah passed, but old Abraham, he didn't quit. He married Keturah and went on and had like a whole bunch more kids. Mm-hmm. That was Texas, wasn't it? A whole bunch more. Okay. Praise the Lord. That's what I said. Now, okay. So tonight, I just want to tell you something you need to know. It's real easy, but it's very important. And, you know, we've heard that if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep having what you have. And it's true. So if you don't like what you have, then you're going to have to change what you're doing and what you believe. Or you're going to keep having it. Remember how we've been talking about deciding? So I'm believing that what I'm going to tell you tonight is going to help you think differently and help you make some decisions, because Hosea said that that God's people did what? Perish for what? For lack of knowledge. And so we need to know certain things so we can fix that. So let's go over to Psalm 103 verse 1, and then we're going to go to Ephesians, and then we're going to go to Psalm 145. Psalm 103, 1. This is a Psalm of David. Thank you, Jesus. You all know it. Are you there? Okay. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Did he say he did it? Okay. Who heals all your diseases. Did he say he did it? Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So these are all great benefits. These are really good. There's more. But verse 7 says that Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. So that's what you're looking for to undergird your faith. You do want to know his acts, but you want to know his ways. How does God behave? What's he really like? Is he a mean God that's mad at everybody? Are we sinners in the hands of an angry God? No, we're not. God so loved the world. See? So you have, there's certain things that you have to understand. How is he? How are his ways? What does he do? So that's what I want to bring to your attention tonight. How is he? So I want to give you three things about God. Three things. Number one, God is able. God is able. Ephesians 1:19 says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Now to him who is able, this is 1:19. Here's 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So there's two right there. The greatness of his power, and this is exceeding abundantly according to his power. And then 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you always have a sufficiency in all things, may give to every good work. God is able. God is able. So it's not you having to be able by yourself. God is able. Okay? He's able. So, you know, we know that God is powerful. Okay? We know that he's powerful. But then what we know, is there something else with this? He's able. He is willing. He's powerful. But I just want you to get this, and then I'll move up here. Faith in God's power alone is not sufficient for faith. It's going to have to get more personal. Because God is mighty. God is powerful. But it's going to have to come. You're going to have to bring it home. So number two, God is willing. God is willing. Matthew 8:1 says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing. I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left. He was cleansed. So here we see God is able, but also God is willing. And now I think religion has spent a lot of time teaching us that that wasn't true. Yeah. Well, maybe if you were good enough, God would help you. Or God's not going to do that for you because he's teaching you a lesson. And we know that is not true. That's not scriptural. It has nothing to do with how God works. Yet, there's a lot that goes on with that. Listen to Luke 6:19. The whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. He was willing. So God's powerful, he's able, he's willing. Matthew 12:15 says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Sounds like somebody's willing to me. Sounds like he's willing. He's willing to do something. And so just to help you increase your faith, we'll look at one more thing, and this is the greatest thing. God is able, God is willing, but God is gracious. God is gracious. And this is the place that you want to understand. Psalm 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies, you're probably going to find hesed right there, are over all his works. So the Lord is gracious. What does that mean, that the Lord is gracious? It means he's disposed to show favor. Amen. Have you known someone in your life who's just disposed to show favor? If you have a situation, somehow they're just going to try to figure out how they can help you. They'll just show up. They're like, well, you know, I can be a part of that. Let me see if I can help you with this situation. There are people like that. Yeah. Gloria Copeland used to talk about Pop. Pop was her grandfather, and Pop let Gloria drive the truck before she ever dreamed of having a driver's license. She had favor with Pop. Yeah. Everybody's had favor probably with a grandmother or grandfather. I had favor with my grandmother. She was a sweet little lady who just walked around like this, and she was just so sweet. And every grandchild, all 26 of us, had to go to Mamaw's house and show her our new cars when we grew up and got in our car. And she'd stand out there on the porch and go, ooh, that sure is pretty. I don't even know if she could see our cars. But she loved us, and she just, whatever, you know, we could always stay with Mamaw. It was just wonderful. And, you know, my sister is someone who's always shown me favor. Yes. Sissy's always in my whole life, always just, I'll show you some favor. What do you need? What do you need? She's that kind of person that'll show you favor. You all know people like that. Amen. Well, so God is gracious. So he's disposed to show favors. That means that's his tendency. Well, I'll help you. Well, let me help you. That's his tendency, okay? It is to apply oneself to the care of showing favor, prone to show favor. Now, then it also says he's full of compassion. Now, if you're full of something, there's no room for anything else, right? You know, when they ask you if you want dessert and you go, no, especially if you eat at Hardin Corona, you know, amen. But if you're full of something, there's no room for anything else. God's not mad at you. In fact, I can prophesy to you right now and tell you what he's saying. I find no fault in you. I find no fault in you. I find no fault. He does not find any fault in you. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. He's gracious and he's compassionate. He is ever ready to help you, church. He wants to help you. So he's slow to anger and of great mercy. And to have compassion means to love tenderly, to pity, to show mercy. Now, there's a scripture that I particularly like in Acts. It's Acts 10:38, Peter's preaching. And he says that they were with Jesus. And it says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Because it's the devil that's the oppressor. It's the darkness that is the lie. It's not God doing that to you. Church, just in case you're new and you need to know something, God doesn't have cancer. God doesn't have sickness. God doesn't do trouble. It's not him. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. Excuse me. I came to give life and give it more abundantly. That stuff comes from the enemy. And don't look all righteous, because it's attacked us all. On one level or another, you've been attacked at some time in your life. Not because you did something wrong. You might have been doing something right. Or it could have been someone else's decision. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you do need to make a better decision. But the Holy Spirit will help you with that. Mm-hmm. He will. But God's not looking at that. The Bible says over in the Old Testament that he was prophesying, and he actually said, I have blotted out all your transgressions. I've blotted them out. And in the next verse it says this, I'll just say it in Roxanne English. He said, now you got a clean slate, write on there what you want me to think about you.
Amen.
That's what those scriptures are saying. What do you want God to think about you? Because he's already thinking good things about you. I just say, Lord, I'm your faithful daughter who'll do anything that I understand that you're calling me to do. And I love you, and I'm just your kid. That's how I feel about him. And he feels that about me. He's my father. And he loves me, and he chooses me. I had a good daddy growing up. And y'all know the stories. Dad got home at 11 minutes after 5. Mom had all the food ready. And Dad came in with the gum in his pocket. And he'd come in and grab me up, and I'd get the gum. And then he'd get on all fours, and I'd ride him to the kitchen. See, I did have a horse even when I was young. And he'd play with me. And he was just a good daddy. And he took care of us all of our lives. He always took care of us. And so I have an understanding of that. But if you didn't, you can now. Because God is a good daddy. He's a good daddy. And he loves you. And he's not an absentee father. And he's not an abuser. He doesn't abuse his children with sickness and disease. The enemy's job is that. That's not God's job. He doesn't do it. Well, you know, he's got the devil out on a chain, and he lets him out so he can see if he can teach you some thing. No, church. The devil is self-employed. He has nothing to do. God does not touch the darkness except to wipe it out. Jesus said a kingdom divided cannot stand. He can't do bad stuff to you and then heal you. That's scripturally insane to think those kind of things. God is a good God. But he is gracious. He's able, he's willing, and he's gracious. Amen. Full of compassion. The word in Ephesians said over there that we are his workmanship. Remember that? And so it says that he has tender mercies over all of his works. Tender mercies over his workmanship. So he thinks good things about you. He wants to help you. Does he get disappointed? Well, the scripture says that you can grieve the spirit. Yeah. Amen. You can quench the spirit. Those have to do with either not doing what he tells you to do or doing what he didn't tell you to do. But even in those points, he never pulls his love back from you, ever. You don't throw your kids away just because they're not doing perfectly. Amen. And he doesn't. He's a good, good father, as somebody around here thinks. Praise the Lord. So Jesus revealed the compassionate heart of God by healing people. He didn't want them to be sick. God doesn't want you to be sick. God wants you to be healed. Church, listen, faith will rise mountain high when the truth of God's present love and his compassion and his willingness begin to dawn on your heart and your mind. Your faith will rise mountain high. And when you realize how much God loves you, that's a point we all need to settle up on. Even at your weakest point. I remember Creflo's mother being very ill, Creflo Dollar's mother one, and all she could do is whisper, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Wasn't it his mom? And then she got well. Just because she could at least get that out. Jesus loves me. So you know the little song you learned so long ago? Well, the Bible tells me so. It's still the truth. It's still the truth. Jesus loves you. And he loves you as if you are a little child. Just like you love the babies. Yeah. Look at the baby. I can remember having services and somebody bring their baby into the church. And in a little while, I'd have to say, all right, everybody stop. Look at the baby. Because everybody's looking at the baby. And then we could have church. You remember those days, Miss Kathy? Praise the Lord. So God loves us, church. Now, it's not what God can do. It's what he yearns to do. That's what hesed is. I have the clearest picture. The first time I ever preached this was, actually there's two people in the room that heard it when I preached it in Reedville, Texas. I preached this very message, well, similar, not exactly like this, but we lived in a house with 38 windows. And I remember preaching this, that Jesus was looking at every window, trying to get in, trying to get to you, knocking on the window, knocking on the door, saying, if you'll just let me in, I'll take care of this. If you'll just let me help you, I will help you. Yeah, Lord, I can go there. I'm thinking about Martha and Mary. See, Jesus was able to help Mary because she just cooled out and relaxed. And Martha's cumbered about, as the King James says. Martha's in there in the kitchen going, there's so many people in this house and I need to do something about this. I need to do something about this. Jesus, tell Mary to get in here and help me. And he's going, Martha, Martha, no. Snoop Dogg will help you. No. Just a joke. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg cooked together on a show. They're like best friends. And so it's, anyway, I think it's real interesting. I mean, thank you, Jesus, that they have friends. Anyway, but this Martha. Martha, I didn't mean that the way it sounds. I love you. Can we edit this part? It's too late. What an unusual, let's just go with it. What an unusual two friends, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But that kind of speaks to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, gets kind of like a covenant thing where you're weak, I'm strong. You know, I mean, she can't rap. Is that what he does? Does he rap? Okay. Because I don't listen to Snoop Dogg. I don't know anything about him. Except, you know. Now, Martha, I watched. She's stirring up something all the time, you know. Let's go back to the Bible. All right. So, Martha's all messed up about everything. When we get like that, we shut Father out. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? How are we going to do it? How can I figure out? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And so then I want the Lord to bless it. That's not the best way to live. The best way. In fact, we had our mentoring group here yesterday, and I told them that I told the Lord that I wanted to do exactly what he wanted me to do. And he said, well, then I'm going to have to get you to ask me a question. I said, okay, Lord. And he said, I said, what's the question? And he says, this is the question you'll be asking me. Lord, what's good for me? See, Lord, what's good for me? What's good for me, Lord? So that's how I've learned and am learning to live, to walk in the will of God. Lord, what's good for me? Something that's good for Claudia might not be as good for me. What's good for Larry might not be good for me. Vice versa. But we do walk in what God has, if we walk in what God has called us to do, we'll be all right. But we need to walk in it without the toil. Martha was toiling. She was worried about the food. Brother Copeland said, if she'd have known Jesus really well, she'd have just slid those beans across the floor and said, you do something about it. You did something with the fish and loaves. Just do something with this, you know. So Martha's real busy and worried. But we don't have to be. Mary chose the one thing. The Word. She chose the Word from the Word. And that's when you're going to see God is able. You're going to see that God is willing. And that's when you're going to see that God is gracious. When you're getting in the rest and saying, okay, Lord, what's good for me? What's good for me? Because this is how I will do it. And that, if you'll just take that and put that template across your life, things get a lot easier. What's good for you? What's good for you to eat? What's good for you to drive? Who are the people that are good for you? See, this answers a lot of questions. What scriptures are good for me right now? I'm telling you, every time it's rained, it's gone right around Springgate, our property. And so I told Deb yesterday morning, I said, I am going in there and I'm going to get me a scripture about raining. Well, when I got to prayer, Miss Joy walks up with her Bible and says, Deuteronomy 11:11, the land that you live in is not a land that you have to dig with your foot to water. We would water with a water hose. But this is a land full of that where it rains. It drinks of the rain. So I said, thank you, Miss Joy. There's my scripture right there. And so I can't tell you how many times the staff has already heard this today, but I've just been quoting, our land is the land that drinks of the rain. Our land is the land that it rains on. We have a promise, and I'm standing on that word. And lo and behold, the clouds showed up. And then I saw whatever his name is on the news, and he said, it's going to rain this weekend. 2 inches. Glory to God. So it's not going to miss my house or your house. Amen. What I want you to understand is the word willing is too tame. Okay? It's too tame. He's gracious. He's gracious. We can't just, well, you know, the Lord is willing. No, he's gracious. He is after you. He's running after you. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He's looking for for every answer or every person who needs to come across your path to help you today. He's looking for every answer. He's looking for what is best for you. What is best for you? He's looking for it. He can come up with it. Well, Lord, we have this situation. Well, he's working on it. Let him help you. He wants to. Yeah. Well, I'm not supposed to ask him that because I'm just in faith. No, no. The scripture said ask in faith. There are certain things you just declare. There's certain things you decree, but there's a time when you ask.
Yeah, that's good, Pastor.
The word ask tells you how to ask. Ask, seek, knock. Right?
You're right.
Yes. Amen. So that's what we do. Lord, there's a situation. I want to know if this is right, and I want a word on it. And God will right then begin to move forward. I had a sweet friend, Linda Remy. She's still my friend. I haven't talked to her in a long time. But she said, when the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, he'll go to the Christians first because they need to get the blessing. But if he can't find a Christian that'll help you, he'll get the world to help you. I said, that's good, Linda. I'm going to remember that. And it's just stayed lodged in my thinking all the time. All the time. But God will do it. God will do it. He'll do it. I am never concerned about getting stuck on the road anywhere or any. I never am. Because I drive a Toyota, so it's not a problem. But I just don't even think about that kind of stuff. God would show up. If you all left, and it was just me left, well, it never would be because Deb would stick it out with me. A friend that sticketh closer than a sister. Martha and Snoop Dogg. Boom. Okay. If all I had was my Bible, it's good to laugh, isn't it?
It is.
If all I had was my Bible, I would have enough because I have him. I have him. He's more than enough. Church, whatever it is today, right now today, whatever it is, wherever you need help. Pastor George just preached something almost just like this. After I heard him preach, I just went out on the back porch and I said, Jesus. And I just named off a few things. I said, will you help me with this? He said, yes. Well, you know, I'm a man, so I don't need to. Yeah, you do. You're God's son. You're God's son. You do have a great manly part to play, but you don't need to be in pride about it. We understand all the things that you like to do. You're a hunter and a gatherer and all those things. That's all wonderful. We're glad you do it. But we also know that God's your father. And you've got to depend on him as much as us girls do. And I'm happy to say that I'm among a bunch of good men that understand that. Amen. He's just hunting for opportunities, church, to gratify his benevolent heart. He just wants to help you. So here's the thing. If you want to please him, remove all the obstacles out of the way of the exercise of his benevolence. Now, what would that be? Everything we just talked about toiling, pride, thinking you have to do it yourself, being selfish about, you know, how you're going to get something done. Find out what see, this is what religion ruined for us. We think that God's going to send us somewhere where we don't want to be, pay us something we don't want to be paid, and cause us to live in something we don't want to live in. That's what religion did to us. Yeah. None of that's true. God wants you to have the best, and he's going to put you in things you like.
Amen.
We do well by water. That's why we all live around here. We do well by water. We like to drive across that bridge. We like to see that water. We do well in the hill country. I always said, when I go to Fort Worth, we always meet a bunch of people, and they think Fort Worth is all of Texas, you know.
Yeah.
And I always say, yes, I live in the beautiful part of Texas. I live in the hill country. Oh, it's totally different than Fort Worth and the Panhandle and, you know, yeah, praise the Lord. But so we're blessed. I mean, what is it that you like? You love guitars. Jesus loves your guitars. Amen. Right? You love horses. God loves Major. He loves him. You love being an entrepreneur, and God loves it. You know, God loves who you are. God loves what you love to do. He loves you, and he will see you through anything. Amen. Well, I don't really like what I'm doing. Well, today's your day. Start asking him, Lord, what's good for me? What's good for me? Well, you know, we're going on a vacation, but I don't ever really like any of them. Well, ask the Lord, what's good for you? Is Hawaii good for me? Is going hunting up in the mountains good for me? Is someone went, uh-uh, no. I like it. Praise the Lord. Some of us are about to go out to a Brandon here in a few days out on a ranch. We like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to get in a tent and have some church in a tent. We like it. A couple of years ago, the horses came into the tent while we was preaching. That was fun. Well, there's no city slickers there. It doesn't bother them. Everybody's like, oh, there's a horse, you know. Well, Amanda, she's not in here. Well, let's talk about Amanda. So I'm going to tell y'all something funny about Amanda. The first time she got close to a horse, okay, if this is the fence, this is how she petted the horse.
It was a victory.
It was a victory. She petted the horse. Yeah, she's born in California. Give her a break. She's all right. Well, they didn't do that out there. I think they have some horses, but they where she lived, she's like, was she in the city?
San Diego.
Yeah. San Diego. See, okay. Anyway. I know y'all want me to quit, don't you? I'm just getting too far out there. Okay, let's finish. Oh, Jesus. The Lord, let's make these couple of points and we'll close. The Lord is good to all. So that means he can't be a respecter of persons. He's good to all. So he can't say, well, he loves you the best, or he loves Jesse the best. Well, she should feel like that. You should feel like that. You should feel like the Lord loves me the best. Really, you should. Just feel like that. You know, I'm his favorite kid. Because he has the power and is able to make all of us, he's El Shaddai. He can make all of his kids feel like they're his favorites. So you should feel like that, right? But he's good to all. So he's not going to pick you out and say, except you. You get to the back of the line. You're not getting anything today. No, I'm not going to be tempted to say that. No. Praise the Lord. All right. But he's going to be good to all. You know, have you ever thought about this? What a strange doctrine that the sick that belong to Jesus would not get as much mercy as the unsaved or the sin, we call them sinners. Sinners are called, isn't an ugly title. Just, that's what they call people who are unsaved. Y'all know that. So, isn't that a strange doctrine that God wouldn't show us mercy when we don't feel good or when we're sick, but he's going to show all this mercy to the unbelievers? Now tell me, if you have your child right out here and there's some other children out there, who are you going to pick? You're going to pick your own kid, right? You will.
Absolutely.
You're going to save your own kid first. You know you will. You know they're going to get the stuff. You're going to give it to them. I mean, okay, so y'all understand I love y'all, but I'm not leaving an inheritance to y'all's children. I'm leaving it to my children. Sorry. Well, I don't know. There's a few in here I might write you in. But the point being is God loves his kids. His kids. That's you. You're going to be first. He loves everyone, but he's going to take care of you first. But that's just a real strange doctrine of, okay, these signs and wonders are going to happen to people out here who are unborn, but y'all need to stay sick because you're going to learn something. What dummy came up with that? Somebody that didn't want to stand in faith. And they didn't want to take the blame themselves. Church, sometimes we lose at the game of life because we didn't believe, because we made the wrong decisions, and because we didn't have enough word to conquer all the other stuff that was coming in. And we've all done it. We've all done that. We've all believed a lie instead of the truth. But if you keep pumping enough truth in there, you will come up over those lies.
Yes.
And that's what I'm doing today. That's why I'm talking about this. Jesus' compassion toward the sick was so well known that the harvest was too great for him to do it by himself. He had to get 70 more people working for him before it was over. And then after Jesus ascended, the book of Acts said this about us. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. So it didn't stop with Jesus. It didn't stop with the 70. Christians now can have compassion on one another and the world. Jesus' compassion is still being poured out in the world.
Amen.
You receive that? He is gracious, church. He is willing. The reason why you don't see it is because religion covered it up. Legalism covered it up. And this world system covered it up. God is good. Jesus is good. He wants to do it. He wants to. He wants to help you. Think about right now as we're closing. Think about what it is you need. Think about what it is. This is just a serious challenge right now. After you are properly enlightened, and you are, do you believe God is gracious? Do you believe what I told you? Then you place yourself where God's mercy can reach you without having to violate His glorious principles. Now stop. Those glorious principles are not that you're perfect. It's that you're in faith. Okay? It's not, well, I can't get anything from God because I'm not good enough. Jesus was good enough for you to have it. That's what where you put your faith.
Yeah.
God's word said you could have it. That's where you put your faith. God loves you. He's able. He's willing. He's gracious. That's where you put your faith. You don't put your faith in whether you were good enough. You are not qualified and will never be good enough. Mm-hmm. Jesus is good enough. And he made you righteous, which to now to him you are good enough. You're not talking about looking down on yourself. I'm talking about you're great. You're wonderful. But the truth is you're not earning healing. Your faith in it. You're believing it. Amen. Got to get that truth in your heart. And I just want you to notice what I said there. After being properly enlightened, you're able to take this challenge. After being proper, in other words, get more and more enlightened about how Father God is, who Jesus is. Jesus is not walking the floor getting ready to beat somebody with a stick. Jesus laughs all the time. Right now in the heavenlies, whoever he walks up on in heaven, you know, they're all meeting him. They're coming in from the bosom of Abraham. They're walking out of paradise. Here comes Jesus walking up. And of course you fall down and you're like, oh, this is the master. And he's like, come here, you know, and he starts talking to you, but he doesn't go, I got a bone to pick with you. That was not funny about Martha and Snoop Dogg and you're in trouble. He's not going to do that. He probably said, you know what, Rox, that was pretty funny. Jesse Duplantis. Y'all know Jesse. So Jesse, you know, in the old days when you went itinerant preaching, they didn't get you a hotel. You had to stay at people's house. Jesse's staying in the house and it's dark in the room. And it's when it was a young preacher. And so he's laying there and something in the corner comes out at him. And he's like, Satan, I rebuke you. And he's doing all this stuff under his voice and everything, and just rebuking. And he's just freaking out, you know. Yeah, he's standing up in the bed, fighting that devil in the dark. And finally, he calms down and goes to sleep. And he wakes up in the morning, and the air conditioner is kicking a curtain on, blowing toward him. And he gets up to get ready, and the Lord spoke to him and said, that's funny, Jesse. And I think he gets a big kick out of you and me. He does. Some of the things we do, he's like, oh my goodness. He enjoys you.
Yes.
And we need to enjoy him.
That's right. Yeah.
He'll get on the horse with you. He'll go deer hunting with you. He'll ride a motorcycle with you. He'll get in the little red convertible with you. Mm-hmm. He'll go bowling with you. Mata's not here. I always add that for her. He'll go fishing with you. He'll come to church with you. That's a good thing. He'll help you at the bank. He'll help you at the house. He'll help you in your body. He'll help you in your mind. He'll change your life. He'll change the neuropeptides that have any kind of thing in them from bad thoughts, any kind of chemicals. You know, when you are worried all the time, your cells, the neuropeptides push, the wrong chemicals down through your body. That's why people get inflamed and stuff, because they've been tormented in their soul, or they're so worried, or they're such in fear, it messes up their bodies. But you just get in peace. You get in peace, and you just say, the light and the life of the Zoe life of God penetrates my body. I'm not having it anymore. I will not allow tumors or growths in my body. I command my muscles to work properly. My heart beats with the rhythm of life. My blood pressure is 120 over 80. My kidneys work right. My pancreas secretes the right stuff. My liver works right. My gallbladder works right. My joints do well. Just start telling your body. Do you know your body hears you?
Yes.
It does.
You can tell it. I have decided that I will produce whatever.
Yeah.
I have decided that my bone marrow will produce the purest blood possible to take care of this body.
Yes.
I confess it every day, and you can too. Yeah. My lungs are good. My eyes are good.
Yeah.
And then ask the Lord what's good for you, and then you'll know what vitamins to take.
Yeah.
Yes, I said it, vitamins.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Or not, whatever God tells you to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good, good God. Thank you, Lord, that tonight, as we all lay down in our beds or drive or go for a walk or look at the sky tonight, whatever we're doing, when we just have a minute with you by ourselves, Lord, each one of us, I declare that we're all just going to ask you, Lord, what's good for me? What's good for me? What's really good for me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What is good for me? The Celtic people call the place where you pray well your thin place. And so ask the Lord where your thin place is. There are places, literal places, where you do well with God. Some people's thin place is in their car. Some people's thin place might be out in the woods. Some people's thin place might be down by the river. It might be your favorite chair. It might be. It might be where you walk every day. It might be wherever it is. Ask the Lord, what's good for me? What's good for me? And meet him in the spirit of the day and talk to him and listen to him. And he's going to say something to you. And he'll say, let me tell you what's good for you. I'm telling you, I've just had a few days of pumping up higher as we've been going over our faith. I've been doing this for over 30 years now. But my faith has gotten a little higher and a little higher while we've been on this. And I heard the Lord just say some things to me yesterday that I've been waiting to hear for a long time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we hope you're blessed. Please remember that God is good, church. God is good. He really is good. He is able, He is willing, and He is gracious. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye.